Hello there, content creators. You're listening to the She's Got Content podcast, where it's all about creating content for your coaching business. I'm your host, Dr. Melissa Brown, and I'm here every week to help you get your content out of your head, out of your heart, and out there into the world, where that information and your services can impact the most people. Get ready to take notes today, and then take action, content creators. Let's dive in with today's episode because you've got content to get out there. Welcome back to the next episode of She's Got Content. My guest today comes all the way from an island called Mauritius, located in the Indian Ocean, just east of Madagascar. You know, it always amazes me how we're able to connect with people so far from us geographically. Anne Raju has an incredible story about how she ended up in Mauritius from a tiny East German village via way of living in London for a time. She also has a brave and audacious goal of reshaping the way women perceive productivity, something she calls peaceful productivity. And I like the sound of that. Anne is the founder and CEO of Virtufully, an e-assistance hub where she helps female entrepreneurs streamline and scale their businesses through strategic outsourcing. Welcome to the She's Got Content podcast, Anne.
Hello, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you. Please tell everyone here more about yourself. Talk to us about how you ended up in this beautiful island in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to childhood dreams of living on an island at some point in my life. And yeah, I lived in that small village and always wanted to see the world. Ended up studying tourism and event management because I thought that's the way I can travel the world. After uni, went straight to London to work there. Was planning to stay there for about a year or so. Ended up being there for 10 years. Fell in love with the city. And eventually fell in love with my husband, who happens to come from Mauritius. So then we had our family and, well, started to have a family. My first son was born in London. And then London didn't feel that great of a place anymore, where we didn't really want to raise the family. And eventually, after a quick holiday in Mauritius, I just said to him, you know, why don't we move there? And I said it, and he quit his job. He sold the flat in London, and within the space of a month or so, we were in Mauritius, and that's now 8 years ago. It's a really wonderful, beautiful place to be.
It's a wonderful, beautiful story. You made that decision, and you made it happen so fast.
Yeah, I think he's been working on it. He always tells me he was planting the seeds over the years, and he was waiting for that moment. And yeah, as soon as I had said it, he was on the go. I've never seen him like this before either. So yeah, he made it happen.
I see. So it sounds like it was the right decision for you guys. And here it is 8 years later, and you have a couple of different businesses that you are founder CEO for. Is that right?
Yes, I am what they would call a multi-talented, multi-skilled, multi-passionate entrepreneur. I've got my virtual assistants agency. I do some mentoring and coaching. I also teach craft on the side, and I don't talk about it a lot, but I create bridal jewelry too. So I like to do all sorts of things. I like to be very busy. And this is how the peaceful productivity came along, because it's not always good.
Actually, that's a good segue. Why don't you tell us about this peaceful productivity? Because it sounds like you are one of those busy, busy, multi-passionate, serial entrepreneurs. And I always wonder, how do people keep it all together when they do all those things? So tell us about this peaceful productivity.
Yeah, very hard to keep it together, to be very honest. So where to start? I mean, for me, it all goes back to a lot of my motherhood experience, because as a mom, I was this like 150% perfect mom, was pouring everything I had into my children, and eventually ended up not feeling very happy and feeling very burned out because there was not much left of Anne, and Anne wasn't doing anything fun apart from motherhood. So I got into coaching and learned a few techniques and practices and applied those and felt much better and had a much better motherhood experience. But then I started a business, and a couple of years down the line, I recognized that I was repeating all these patterns of overachieving, pouring everything I had into it, ignoring my health, ignoring my needs, ignoring my, you know, the things that I enjoyed, and just trying to make these businesses work with everything I had. And I realized that doesn't work either. So ended up burned out again. And really came back to these practices I had learned through my coaching and the motherhood experience and applied these again to business, and really realized that if I focus in a different way, if I focus my energy on very specific things, and if I make sure that I have energy, I'm much more productive and my business works in a much better way, is more profitable, I have more opportunities coming my way. And so that's when I started speaking about that experience of, yeah, I love doing all these things, but it's not always sustainable, and definitely not as a mom of young children as well. So yeah, this is how the peaceful productivity came along, personal experience.
I see. Yeah, I love this. So it sounds like it's almost like the next natural segue was to create this virtual assistance agency where you can help other people outsource some of these tasks that we all think, well, we've got to do it ourselves because it's got to be perfect and nobody else can do it perfectly but us, which is not true, by the way, right?
Exactly.
Let's dive into this with how a virtual assistant can really help us become much more productive, because I think we've heard that one of the first things you need to do is get yourself some help, get yourself a personal assistant. And a lot of people sort of get resistant to that idea. But sometimes having somebody else, it's almost like cloning yourself when you can have somebody else doing some of the things that's not necessarily your zone of genius, but it is for them, that leaves you more time to do things that are your zone of genius. So talk to us about how it came to be that you started this agency.
Yeah, so the agency really was more by chance. We all remember COVID coming along. And just before COVID, I was made redundant because the company where I was working was in financial difficulties. And so that was Christmas. So let's enjoy Christmas and then we see what the new year brings. And new year brought COVID and there was no jobs. So I started working online because I needed to support my family financially and had the opportunity to support a client who was running a virtual summit. I had zero experience with it, but I was curious. I was happy to learn. And turns out that I was quite good at it. And that's how it started. And very quickly, I grew in the sense that I had a continuous flow of clients. I had a lot of recommendations, word of mouth, and so on. And I started turning business down because I didn't have the capacity. Back then, my kids were really small. The little one was, I think, 6, and the other one was going to 4. So there was still a lot of being hands-on with them and very little time. And so I was turning business down. I was like, there's something needs to be different. I can't be turning business down. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
And was a bit reluctant to go into the agency model because of managing different people. I actually really enjoyed being my own boss, just working for myself. So I brought help on for myself because I was also doing the coaching and mentoring on the side. And I just didn't have time to do that because I was being the VA for someone else. So I started bringing someone on for myself so that I could create 2 or even 3 businesses because of all the different things I do, and realized, okay, this is the only way I can grow the business because my capacity is limited. And one of my big goals is to work in a way that I can be with my kids for the maximum time possible. I don't want to work more to make more money. So the decision was, okay, I have to bring people on. And just what you said is that there are certain things that we are really good at and certain things that we do with ease and joy. And that's, again, the peaceful productivity where it comes in. The easier and better it feels for us to work, the better the output is and the more productive we are. But then we tend to, as business owners, do all the things in the business, wear all the 5 million different hats. And we get stuck in some tech stuff. And so many times a friend calls me like, and I can't figure out this email thing. Like, I've been on this for 3 hours. It's going to take me 15 minutes to show you where you need to click and what you need to do. So we try, because we're in it and we want to make it work and all. But some things, someone who has done this 20 times or 50 times will do that in 5 minutes when it takes you an hour, for example. So that's definitely something where a VA can be super helpful, because we do things quite repetitively, whereas maybe an entrepreneur will go on the website once a month and do something in the back end. And the VA does that every day. So the VA is going to do that much faster and more efficiently. And also, what I've seen as a VA for clients, the more my clients have given us work, the more the business has grown. Because at the end of the day, we take care of the things like the website or the emails or answering client inquiries, sending out invoices, chasing payment, all these things. We do that for her. And now she has time to refine her funnel, refine her messaging, put her stories, her content out. We're speaking on the content podcast. So she does a lot more content because she has more time to do that, because she's sending tasks over to the VAs. And with that, she's generating more leads, converting them, and obviously the business grows. And she's brought on more VAs, and the more VAs she's brought on, the more the business has grown. So it's really, for me, a correlation between the support you have and the growth your business can experience.
That sounds like a beautiful thing. So let me just reflect that back. It sounds like when we as the entrepreneur feel like we've got to do it all ourselves, even though that's not our zone of genius, it's actually holding us back. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the point where you say, I've got to get some help, and maybe that's not even when you're overwhelmed and burned out, please don't wait until it happens to you to be burned out, because I know all about the burnout as well. Then when we hire the first virtual assistant and we see how much that frees us up to do what is our zone of genius, where we can coach more people, when we can make more digital products, where we can be more creative, and that brings in even more income, and then the business continues to grow, we can bring even more people into our team and create a next level for our productivity, all the while maintaining peacefulness in the interim. I think that is just, this is sort of the Cliff Notes version of your peaceful productivity.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Perfect.
Yeah, I love that. For those people who are now listening to this and being excited about, oh my gosh, I've been doing everything myself, I really would like to get some help, but they're really hesitant because they just don't know how to go about it. What would you say someone should be looking for in hiring their first virtual assistant?
Yeah, this is definitely a question I get a lot. And I think from personal experience of being a VA, but also hiring VAs through the agency and for myself, I think the first step is to really get clarity on what are the tasks that you want to outsource. What makes most sense? What are, especially when you're starting out, what are the lowest hanging fruits, the easy things that you can hand off to someone, so that first of all, you practice delegating, because delegating can be sometimes quite challenging. Like you said initially, we have often the belief like, only I can do this really well. Someone else does not know my business as well as I do, or my business is my baby and I'm scared to actually let someone else put their fingers into it. I experienced that too in the whole process. But really, it's knowing what are the tasks you want to outsource, and then understanding that you've got to find the person with the right skills. So quite often what I see is an entrepreneur comes with a variety of tasks. And obviously, it's difficult then to say, okay, I will need someone who is very experienced in administration. I need someone who's really good with social media, and I need someone who's really good with websites or funnels, for example. So in the beginning, it's quite difficult to say I need three people, because obviously that's, you know, a chunk of money that comes there. But I think it's very important to understand that an admin VA does admin really well. A tech VA does tech really well. But what a lot of people are trying to do is find that one all-rounder person. And especially the way the online business is shaped these days, finding an all-rounder who knows everything is really hard. the important part is to understand that the expectation should be to think about what are the main tasks that I want to give a VA and find the VA who's specifically trained and experienced in that area. So like I said, there's tech VAs, there is general admin VAs, there are social media VAs, there are launch VAs, there are marketing VAs. Social media and marketing, I see that differently because sometimes there's also the expectation that the VA creates the content, but also creates the strategy,
right,
which is not always the case for the same person because it requires different skills and experiences. So I think that the main parts are know what you want to outsource and really understand what are the skills that person needs and dig into that when you have conversations with them. Make sure they have done these kind of jobs and that they understand what is required in the role. But try not to go for that person who will promise you, I can do it all. Give me anything. I will do it for you. It doesn't work most of the times.
I hear that. And I think, yeah, many of us probably want to just hand off a whole stack of things to one person without really thinking about strategically, is this a tech task? Is this administrative? Is this social media, like you mentioned? And so many times I've heard people complaining that they hired somebody as a VA to do their strategy for social media, but that they expected them to do all the content creation, but they didn't. And that wasn't part of that other person's zone of genius was. So I think you're right. You have to be clear on what you are looking for and have that conversation ahead of time about what are the expectations. And I love that you threw in there also about the experience, because you want somebody who's done this before. If you're starting to delegate some things and you may not know how to do these things yourself, trying to delegate and hand off those tasks to somebody else who hasn't done it before either is like a recipe for disaster, I think.
Exactly. Exactly. Totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that, oh my gosh, it takes so long to train or onboard a VA. But it sounds like what you're saying is if you know exactly what you're outsourcing to somebody and specific about it, and you're looking for somebody with experience, it sounds like the onboarding or training part should be pretty short-circuited. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally agree. Exactly. I think the thought that training is hard and takes long comes from that place of, okay, I'm finding that one person who knows it all. Mm-hmm. And it's just not how technical business has become these days. So then how many email sending platforms are out there? How many website builders are out there? How many funnel builders are out there? It's hard to find someone who has worked on all of them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's probably always an element of training, but I've done this for 4 years now, and my specialities are funnels and things like that. So while I haven't worked on all the systems, I've worked on enough of the systems to understand how another system is likely to function, because I have seen varieties and there is always similarities. But this wasn't the case when I started out. When I started out, I had touched maybe one or two. And that's when then you, as the entrepreneur, you end up training the person on your system because she hasn't or he hasn't used it, but also the experience is not there to make it easy for them to grasp the new system. They come from, okay, they've been doing admin for you because that's how you started out, because admin tends to be the easiest thing to hand off. And now you've grown and you've given them more and more things, but they're not a tech person or they're not a social media person. They're learning it as they're going, but you're providing them a lot of training because it's not their background, it's not their skill. And that's what I see happen a lot. So it's again, knowing that, valuing, I think it's really for me from the other side of being a VA, valuing the skills and experience of a VA and understanding that this is something quite crucial in the process, and that this is really what helps to not having to train them, to not having to correct mistakes, to not having to find another VA after 2 months because the first VA didn't work out. It's really understanding that from the start, and taking a little bit of time initially to find that person who really fits the criteria.
Right, I hear that. Well, we're mostly talking about adding a person to your team, somebody who's going to continue to do whatever these tasks are that you've delegated month after month in a certain number of hours per week or per month or whatever. But there's another way that you could tap into peaceful productivity that I just thought of, and that is to hire someone for particular events or something that you're doing that's maybe once a year, like a virtual summit or a launch of some kind or a bundle. That's pretty specialized when you're looking for a VA who is in particular skilled at helping you do a launch. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, a launch is always that big project that most online entrepreneurs have on their list at least once a year, if not more than once a year. Mm-hmm. And the experience that I've seen, and I've done launches myself too, by myself, is mm-hmm. that it can be really hard work. It is a lot of moving pieces. And a lot of times, I think, especially when it's the first launch, it's underestimated how many things there are to be done. I just had a call with someone yesterday. She had a launch. It didn't quite go the way she wanted it to go. And she was like, if only I had met you before, because I was scrambling to write these emails every single day. And if I had someone who helped me to plan them out and to schedule them out, I would have felt so much more relaxed and more at ease showing up. And it's like, exactly, this is it. A lot of times entrepreneurs are trying to put these big events together because obviously that's supposed to help their business grow their audience, bring in new customers. But then they struggle in the process. And for me, it affects their efficiency and effectiveness of the launch because they're stressed and our energy comes through what we do, comes through an email, because if we're writing it at 1 a.m. in the morning to go out at 5 a.m. and it's just people can feel it. And for me, it's not necessary that we have this experience of the launch being really stressful and being hard and we forgot something, or then, I don't know, the website crashes and you have no one to turn to because you've built it yourself, but now there is something so technical that you spend again 5 hours in the middle of the night trying to fix your cart or whatever it is. Worst thing that can happen, but it does happen.
It does.
So if you have someone in your corner, it just feels so much more relaxed. But also I oftentimes have great fun with my clients because we're in it together and we're like building each other up and we're like, come on, you can do it, but I can't open. And maybe there wasn't the hype that we were looking for and we didn't get as many sales, but we're there together and we're like, no, okay, we're gonna do this instead and let's brainstorm. It's also this whole not doing it alone, because doing it alone can also be quite grinding and just really joyful. So I think these events are perfect to have at least one person with you.
Actually, I've heard recently from someone who teaches how to do virtual summits that she won't even work with somebody about how to do the logistics unless they're working with a VA. So she recognized that this is just going to be extremely stressful for everybody unless there's a virtual assistant who's working to help the person put this together.
So true. So,
yeah. My goodness. We've talked about so many different things. I'm getting very excited about about getting help myself. There's just so many different ways. Here's a question. This answer from you could probably go on and on, but what are some of the most common things that you see people come to you and say, I would love to hire a virtual assistant to do, just so that we can get an idea of some of the tasks that can be outsourced to a virtual assistant?
Yeah. So again, my specialty is quite tech related. So I don't do a ton of admin things. Mm-hmm. I would definitely outsource them to my team. But I think the most common things are really things like website updates, adding a blog post to your website, updating the price on a product, putting in a promo code, things like that. If it comes to a summit, creating unique links in your website. Mm-hmm. Then also funnels, you're launching a new ebook or a new lead magnet, we build the funnel for that. Email marketing is one of my favorite things to do. So I do a lot of automations, email funnels, and that kind of thing. Social media scheduling, obviously social media content creation, but I think even the scheduling is the bigger part because it can be such a time sucker that is easily done by a VA, because it's literally just copy and paste and put it in the right platform and make sure it's going out at the right time. Graphic creation, if you're launching a product, you need a little mock-up that makes your product look nice. Yeah, these kind of things are quite typical.
If you want to host a bundle, I know that there are people who specialize in that, where they help basically set up the website, put all the products in for you, help pop in the descriptions, maybe even write the emails. And just because they do it all the time, they go from one bundle to the next, and they help you with that. And the other thing that I just thought of is podcasting. You can have somebody do your editing of your audio, and maybe even you like doing your own editing, but you could have a virtual assistant do all that social media outreach after you get your episode published. So this is really exciting to me. Very exciting.
Exactly. Yeah, put your podcast episode on your website and everywhere else, and putting it in your email newsletter and all these little bits and pieces that help you reach more people. Mm-hmm. But they add up to a lot of time where you can then go out and find that next wonderful speaker. And all these things. Mm-hmm. Have new ideas for, I don't know, a special theme, all of that stuff. It's exactly that.
Right. Yeah. It's just really starting to blow my mind. Okay. So here is the question. Let's just address this as the elephant in the room, because a lot of people like me may be getting very excited about hiring somebody or starting a team and growing it based on what they need help with at the time. The elephant in the room to me is, how much does something like this cost?
Yeah, I think what a lot of people think is, I'm hiring a VA and then I have to give her a lot of work and it has to be so many hours. But really, it doesn't have to be many hours. It can start small. Let's say 10 hours a month is something that definitely works for some VAs. Not every VA would take a client on for that, but a lot of VAs do. Mm-hmm. And then again, it goes back to the skill set of the VA. So an admin VA generally is probably the lowest tier in pricing. And then I would say the launch VA, marketing VA is the highest tier. Obviously, you can find very low rates available on the market, but mm-hmm. I always feel we've got to be a little bit careful with that, because again, the skill set, the experience, all of these things, they should be valued and they come at a certain price. So for me, if you have an admin rate that charges you between $25 to $35 per hour, I think it's a good rate. Then a tech support, I would think something between $45 and $60 per hour is a fair rate. Mm-hmm. And a marketing VA could be something $50 to $60. And then obviously, if you have a launch or a bundle or something like that, it should be a package. It should be a project-based fee that mm-hmm. you negotiate with all your deliverables and all of that. And that depends on the scale of your event. But yeah, so anything between $25 to $60, again, depending on the skills and experience. Yeah.
I think we've already addressed how one could afford that, because we talked about that mm-hmm. already. When you hire somebody on your team and that actually frees up time for you to go out there and get a new coaching client or do more coaching or create more packages or digital products or whatever it is that brings in the income, then you're in your zone of genius. Yes. And that creates more income for you to pay for your virtual assistant. So it's just a beautiful kind of a loop, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, just remembering my friend who was stuck with her email system and she spent 2 or 3 hours on it. Mm-hmm. If she coached her client for 2 or 3 hours, how much money would she have earned with that? And I went in and took 15 minutes to fix it. So let's say my rate is $50. 15 minutes of $50 is very much smaller than what she would have earned. So this is always something that we need to remember. It's sometimes the investment initially feels maybe, especially when we're starting out, a bit scary, but the potential to make that money back is given, because mm-hmm. your time is more valuable than fixing an email issue for 2 hours.
or maybe not even getting anywhere after that many hours. So you kind of wasted that time because you didn't actually solve the problem. Wow, this has just been a great discussion. I'm just very excited about this whole possibility. I'm sure that there are listeners here who might want to have a conversation. How can people get in touch with you? And I think you have a special offer for the listeners as well. Can you tell us about that?
So anyone who is obviously interested in starting to work with a VA, outsourcing some tasks, I am happy to offer a free consult call where we can actually go through what could be these tasks. I think this is often a question that feels a bit daunting in the beginning. We can talk about what's going on in your business and what would be these tasks that are easy to outsource and what kind of VA probably would be a good fit. So yeah, people can book into my schedule. The easiest way is probably go on my website. So the website is virtufully.com. So VIRTUFULLY.com. And you find several buttons there where you can book that. And then maybe we can share that blog post about the different types of VAs. I think this can be very helpful. And it's all written out in terms of what pricing to expect, what are typical tasks that these VAs do. So I've got that little blog post, which I think can be very, very helpful for someone who is thinking to outsource.
Okay, so I'll be sure to include Anne's website and the link to look for that free consultation and the blog post for the different types of VAs. It's all going to be in the show notes. So make sure that you go over there and get that. Where can people find you, Anne, on social media? Which platforms do you like to hang out on?
Yeah, so I think my favorite are either LinkedIn, and there it's Anne Raju, or Instagram. And on Instagram, I've got two accounts. So there's the Virtufully account, which really speaks about outsourcing and business tools and things like that. And then I have underscore Anne Raju underscore, which is the peaceful productivity part. There I speak more about the elements of being productive and finding ways to enjoy your business and to integrate mindfulness and to find the right things to focus on. I think this is a big one for me. We get very distracted, which is hindering us to be productive. And that's where I speak on Instagram about these things.
That's so important. I like that. I just think that you've kind of wrapped it all up to help all women really become more productive and remain peaceful. I know we talked about a lot today. If you could make sure everyone takes home the most important nugget from today, could you sum it up in one golden nugget?
Yeah, I think for me, it's really, we don't have to do it all and not all alone. I think we tend to wanting to do so many things because there's so many possibilities and so many ways of doing it, but we don't have to buy into all these things that are being taught on the internet, have all these funnels and products and keep it simple. I think this is one thing. Keep it simple and don't do it alone. Find someone who helps you and who takes away the tasks that are just not your zone of genius. I think this is also key. Work in the zone of genius and the output is greater and the return on investment is greater and your business will thank you. And also if you have family, your family will thank you because you're just not that burned out, grumpy entrepreneur, mom, parent, wife.
You will be happier. Your family will be happier and the world will be happier. All right. That's great. Thank you so much, Anne, for sharing all of your wisdom here with everyone. Thank you so much for being on the She's Got Content podcast.
Huge pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to this week's episode of She's Got Content podcast. Make sure you get your content out there and we will be back and see you the next time. If you got value from today's episode, I would be so grateful when you leave a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. It only takes a second, and it really helps me get my message out to impact even more people so they can, in turn, keep the ripple going. If you're listening on Apple Podcast and leave a review of the show, it would really make my day, and you just might receive a shout-out on the show as my content creator of the week when I read out your review. And last but never least, if you want an endless supply of just right ideas for content you can write about for your blog post, your emails, your videos, podcast episodes, all the content things, then you want to head over to my website at shesgotcontent.com/content and pick up your free workbook, Never Run Out of Content Ideas. Look for that link in the show notes today, along with the other links mentioned in today's episode. Until next time, content creators, you've got an audience waiting to hear from you, and you've got content to share with them. Stop being the best kept secret and make a bigger impact when you've got content out there in the world.